Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
And today we're going to continue talking about Oscar Wilde. The title of our unit for this month's literature unit is The Wild World of Victorian England. Of course, we could describe Victorian England as kind of being wild under the covers, maybe, or
beneath
the surface, maybe.
Yeah, but definitely it looked very buttoned up, very... They had very strict rules. Women couldn't show anything. You know, there was a while in the 1700s where the dresses of the women were cut very low. In the Victorian era, their dresses were buttoned up to their necks. So they were very, we called them prudish. But yeah, it wasn't wild. But it was, people wanted to break the rules. And I think that's why Oscar Wilde was making fun of all the Victorian rules when he wrote.
Well, some people were pushing the boundaries there, trying to get away with whatever they could, including Oscar Wilde here. And evidently in his story, Jack and Algernon were actually up to some mischief here, trying to get married and telling people their name was Ernest and stuff like that. And it turned out that the name really was Ernest. And such a wild story here. But of course, this is talking mostly about Oscar Wilde's life and times. That's what we're going to be talking about in today's lesson. We did talk about our featured work of literature last time, the importance of being earnest. But hey, let's find out some more about the man himself in today's lesson. Let's read.
Oscar Wilde was a Victorian era author, poet, and playwright. He was born into a well-off family in 1854 in Ireland and studied the classics at Trinity College, Dublin, and the University of Oxford in England. While at Oxford, he became involved in the aesthetic movement, which supported the idea of art for its own sake, instead of being motivated by political or social views. Wilde's only novel, The Picture of Dorian Gray, 1891, caused a scandal among critics because it went against the standards of Victorian morals. His greatest talent lay in writing plays, including Lady Windermere's Fan, 1892, and An Ideal Husband, 1895. His most celebrated play, The Importance of Being Earnest, 1895, was first performed at the height of his fame. Despite his success, misfortune affected Wilde's personal life. He married Constance Lloyd in 1884, and the couple had two sons. However, during his marriage, he had several male lovers. In 1891, he began an affair with Lord Alfred Douglas, a member of the aristocracy. When Douglas's father, the Marquis of Queensberry, learned about the affair, he accused Wilde of homosexuality, which was then illegal. Furious, Wilde sued Queensberry for libel, but lost. The scandal revealed Wilde's homosexuality, and in 1895, just after The Importance of Being Earnest had opened, he was sentenced to 2 years hard labor in prison. Prison ruined Wilde's health, and after he was released, he went into exile in Paris, France. Living in poverty, the once-renowned writer died of meningitis at the age of 46. Wilde is remembered as one of the greatest English-language writers of the late 19th century. His dazzling wit and literary works are still appreciated today.
Hey, everybody, what do you say we talk about the contents of today's lesson right now? Let's get to it here. This is day two of our lesson, The Wild World of Victorian England. And, of course, we're talking about the featured play, The Importance of Being Earnest, by Oscar Wilde. Now, Oscar Wilde was a Victorian-era author, poet, and playwright. So an author, of course, is somebody who writes books. He wrote poetry as well, and he wrote plays. A playwright is somebody who writes plays. Shakespeare, of course, was also a playwright. So was Edward Albee, etc., etc. Mm-hmm. Those are some famous playwrights. And he was born into a well-off family in 1854 in Ireland and studied the classics at Trinity College, Dublin, and the University of Oxford in England. Okay, so his family had some money. They were well off. If you describe someone as being well off, that means they have a lot of money. It doesn't necessarily mean they're aristocracy or nobility or something like that. It just means they're rich. They've got some bucks, they've got some money, and they've got money to burn, and they don't have to listen to other people. They can do whatever they want to do. And this happened way back in 1854, but he was born in Ireland. And Dublin, of course, is, what, the main city in Ireland there, the capital, mm-hmm. the largest city there. So he studied at Trinity College there, and then he went on to Oxford.
Which is a really great university. It's still in England today. Oxford and Cambridge are the two big universities in England. While he was at Oxford, he became involved in the aesthetic movement. Aesthetic just means something that's concerned with beauty or the appreciation of beauty. We use it a lot when we're talking about the arts in general. So he became involved in the aesthetic movement. And this particular group of people, they supported the idea of art for its own sake. Art just because, you know, produce art just to be beautiful or to present the world with something that's pretty wonderful to look at or listen to or hear, instead of producing art because it's motivated by politics or social views. Boring. Seems like nowadays everything's political. I would love to go back to this, just this idea of art for art's sake, because art makes the world more beautiful. Now, if you do something for its own sake, it just means you don't consider outside issues. You just look at that one thing. So he really loved the idea of art just because it provided more beauty to the world. Now, if you're motivated by something, that means that's what gives you your motivation, that's your intent behind it. It gives you a reason for doing something. I'm motivated to work hard because I want to go on a good vacation every year. So I work hard and save my money so I can go on fun vacations once a year.
Why? I don't know anybody who doesn't have that motivation. I want to travel. I want to see the world. That's what I want to do in my life. So yes, art for art's sake, not for some political or social reason. I think Mao Zedong said something like that. He said, art is only political. It can only serve political means. It means nothing else. But I guess Wilde here didn't agree with that. He said, no, art can be beautiful just for beauty's sake. Mm-hmm. And Wilde's only novel, The Picture of Dorian Gray in 1891, caused a scandal among critics because it went against the standards of Victorian morals. I'm not too familiar with this work of literature. We've been talking about one of his plays, but this is his only novel, which was entitled The Picture of Dorian Gray, and I guess it was kind of controversial. It caused a scandal in Victorian England because it kind of questioned the morals of Victorian England. And here we've got the word morals. That's just a set of rules or principles or guidelines on how you conduct your life. It's how you tell the difference between what is right and what is wrong. And during Victorian times, of course, they had some morals that, you know, a lot of people would agree with. Other people would say, oh, you're going too far. That's ridiculous. You don't have to worry about that too much. Victorian England's morals were kind of strict and maybe hypothetical. Excuse me, hypocritical.
Hypocritical, where you say one thing and you do something else. Yeah. So, yeah, there are different cultures around in different periods of time in the earth where you think, yeah, you're not really doing what you're saying. You're not really, let's see, walking the talk. So, yeah, it was a bit hypocritical, but those were very high standards back then in Victorian England. They had very high moral standards. His greatest talent lay in writing plays. So even though he wrote poetry and books, he had the one novel there, The Picture of Dorian Gray, he actually really excelled in writing plays for the stage. Those are dramas, of course. He wrote plays, including these three, Lady Windermere's Fan, which I don't know. I've never read that. An Ideal Husband is a great play, and it's also a great movie. You should check that out. That's a really fun one. But his most celebrated play, I would say his most famous play as well, is The Importance of Being Earnest. If it's celebrated, it means people really think it's wonderful, and they say all sorts of great things about it. So it's very, very much admired. It's a renowned play. Everyone knows this one. If you study English literature, everyone knows The Importance of Being Earnest. And it was also performed at the height of his fame. So he wasn't one of those unknown writers, you know, or unknown artists who never became famous before they passed away. He was famous during his lifetime. And the first time they performed it was back in 1895. And they're still performing this play today. It's so great.
Yeah, and it's not too difficult either. So I think it's actually performed in high schools all over the United States and Canada and the rest of the English-speaking world. It's quite popular, and hey, somebody probably is putting on a production of it right here in Taiwan as we speak, even in English. Now, despite his success, misfortune affected Wilde's personal life, okay? So he was successful. Success, of course, is the noun. The state of having success is when you are successful. So he was a successful novelist. He was a successful playwright. But despite his success, even though he was successful, misfortune affected his personal life. Now, here we've got the word misfortune. Fortune means great things happen to you. Also, a fortune can be a lot of money. Hey, I'm going to make a fortune on the stock market. But misfortune here is the opposite. It just means bad luck when things don't go well for you.
Yeah, and they really didn't go well. So he married a lady named Constance Lloyd in 1884. They had two sons, so he was a father. However, during his marriage, he kind of strayed. So he had some affairs. But what was so shocking to Victorian period of time was that he had several male lovers. That was not done back then. And you had to keep that pretty secret or you might be arrested and thrown into jail. So in 1891, he began an affair with someone quite famous, Lord Alfred Douglas. I remember this. He was a member of the aristocracy. Remember, there are different social classes in England. It's not enough to be smart or rich. You also have to be born into the right family. And that's why Americans are so proud of the freedom and the no social classes that we have in America. But back then and still today, there's the royal family and then there is the aristocracy. They've got earls, they've got counts, they've got dukes, duchess, and they've got marquess, which we're going to talk about, marquis, they say, and a marquis. So these are different ranks or levels in the aristocracy. So he began an affair with this guy, and because he was so famous, people heard about it. We're going to talk more about this, guys, but first, we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher, and then we'll be right back.
大家好，欢迎收听 English Digest, 我是哈利。今天我们要阅读的文章是 Unit 14文学单元的第二天课程。今天的文章将会介绍《不可儿戏》的作者 Oscar Wilde 的生平背景。王尔德是英国维多利亚时期的诗人和剧作家。我们看到第一段的第二句的前半部分。He was born into a well-off family in 1854 in Ireland. 他在西元1854年生于爱尔兰一个富有的家庭。形容词 well off 是 rich or having enough money to live well, 也就是指富裕的。表示富有的形容词还有 wealthy, W-E-A-L-T-H-Y, well-to-do, W-E-L-L, 一横 hyphen, T-O hyphen, D-O, affluent, A-F-F-L-U-E-N-T, opulent, O-P-U-L-E-N-T.我们来造个句子。Scarlett comes from a very wealthy family, so she has never had to worry about money. 史卡利来自一个很富有的家庭，从来不必担心钱的问题。我们接着看第一段最后一句有个片语 instead of。Instead of 后面是接名词或 ving, 意思是代替而不是的意思。例如 John went to the movies instead of going to cram school。 约翰去看电影而不是去补习班。副词 instead 是反而、相反地的意思，后面通常接逗号再接一完整句子。刚刚的例句我们就可以替换成 John didn't go to cram school. Instead, he went to the movies. 约翰没有去补习班，他反而去看电影。文章的第二段提到王尔德唯一的小说《格雷的画像》在当时引起了争议。我们看到第二段第一句的后半部分 Because it went against the standards of Victorian morals. 因其违反维多利亚时期的道德标准。Morals 在本句做复数名词用，是指 principles or standards of good behavior, 也就是道德规范。例如 The politician had no morals at all. 这位政治人物毫无道德可言。Moral 做单数名词时是寓意的意思。例如 The moral of the story is to look before you leap. 这个故事的寓意就是三思而行。另外 moral 也可以做形容词用，意思是道德的，例如 moral standard, standard, 就是道德标准。moral dilemma, dilemma, 就是道德上的两难困境。moral obligation, obligation, 就是道德上的义务。Moral 的名词是 morality, morality, 道德、道德观的意思。例如 ,In today's class, we discussed the morality of abortion. 在今天的课程中，我们讨论堕胎的道德观。我们接着看到第三段的第一句 ,Despite his success, misfortune affected Wells' personal life. 尽管王尔德大获成功，但厄运影响了他的私生活。Despite 是介系词，有尽管、虽然的意思，相当于 in spite of, 后面接名词或 ving, 而不接一完整句子。例如 ,despite the upcoming typhoon, these students went mountain climbing. 尽管台风即将来临，这些学生还是去登山。Despite 和 in spite of 如果要接一完整句子的话，则是要先接 the fact, 再接一个 that 名词子句。例如Despite the fact that Matt hadn't done well in the game, he didn't feel frustrated. 尽管麦特比赛中表现不好，他并不觉得沮丧。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
All right, let's continue with today's lesson. We're talking about the life and times of Oscar Wilde. He was a successful writer, mostly a playwright, during the 1800s, the late 1800s there, the late 19th century. He had a novel, he had some plays, and of course, The Importance of Being Earnest was a really popular play that was his most celebrated, his most famous play.And despite his success, though, he had some bad luck, some misfortune. He did get married to a woman. He had a couple of sons, but he kind of played around there. During his marriage, he had some homosexual affairs, and he did one with Lord Alfred Douglas, who was a member of the aristocracy. And I guess that's kind of an example of Victorian hypocrisy, where they probably had morals that said, no, you can't be homosexual. That is wrong. You can't do that. But still, we have someone of the aristocracy willing to do this, willing to have a homosexual affair with Oscar Wilde. So the father, of course, did not want to admit that his son did anything wrong. So he accused Oscar Wilde of homosexuality. Now, the father of Lord Alfred Douglas was a man called Marquess of Queensberry. I think that's some title in Scotland or something like that. He found out about the affair. So, of course, he didn't get mad at his son. That would bring scandal on the family. So he accused Oscar Wilde of homosexuality. And here we have the verb phrase to accuse someone of something. If you say someone has committed a crime, you use this pattern. Mr. Thompson was accused of murder, for example.
Yeah, so he accused Weil of homosexuality. He probably, in an attempt to protect his son, said, oh, he convinced my son to participate in this awful act of homosexuality.
He corrupted my son.
Yeah. So if you accuse somebody, you better have some evidence, guys, because you can be sued for hurting someone's character if you accuse them of something, and then you go to court. So what happened is Wilde was so angry about this that he sued this guy for libel but lost. The only reason he lost was because, you know, it wasn't really libel. It was true. So libel is when you say something and it's a published false statement that damages somebody's career or reputation. If you're someone in the public eye, if you're a very famous actor, actress, politician, you really can't sue when people accuse you of something because it's very hard to win those. So libel is a published false statement. There's another similar word, slander. Slander is when it's spoken. It may not be written down, but libel has to be published. So it looks like this actually made the newspapers. I'm sure this was a huge piece of gossip back then. Now, if you're furious, guys, that's one of the words you can use if you're really, 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 really angry, extremely angry about something. You could also use the word he was outraged, outraged. He sued for libel but lost. There are a lot of words we use for being angry or mad, furious, yeah.
But in any case here, yes, I suppose it was a case of his word against his. After all, this is the Marquess of Queensbury, and he said, hey, Wilde's a homosexual. And, of course, Wilde tried to say, no, he's slandering me. He's libeling me. But, of course, this is somebody in the aristocracy, so he was probably going to lose anyway. And the scandal revealed Wilde's homosexuality. And in 1895, just after The Importance of Being Earnest had opened, he was sentenced to 2 years hard labor in prison. So, of course, when this thing was made public, everybody found out, ooh, Oscar Wilde is one of those. He's a homosexual. He's a bad boy that goes against Victorian morals. So he was sentenced to 2 years hard labor in prison. Not only are you going to go to prison, but you're going to work really hard. And this is what happened to Oscar Wilde. He was sent to prison to do hard labor, maybe using a sledgehammer to break down rocks and turn it into gravel.
That's
so they could build castles or whatever. Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, prison ruined Wilde's health. Sometimes when you're in prison, they don't take good care of you. Maybe the food's bad. In his case, he was out working very hard, and he probably wasn't used to hard work. If you take a look at him, he looks like he's pretty weak. There are a lot of photos of him. He's an interesting guy. So if you have something that is ruined, it's really destroyed. It might be physically destroyed. In his case, his health was ruined, so he never recovered after he served his prison sentence of 2 years. So you can ruin a lot of things. The other day, I spilled something on my shirt, and it was a really dark color, and it ruined it because I could never wash it out. It made me very sad.
Oh, no.
So you can ruin lots of things. You can ruin physical things. You can ruin you could ruin your health. You can ruin your emotional state by being criticized a lot. If people, you know, are constantly being bullied, that can ruin their self-esteem. So ruin can be literal and figurative as well. He was released from prison after 2 years, and then he went into exile in Paris, France, where he could live as a homosexual. I think it was a little easier in Paris, France. If you're in exile, it means you're barred from your native country. So England, you know, tossed him out of their country, and he went to live in France.
Or maybe he just left himself. He would be in more trouble in England if he stayed there. So what the heck? I'm going to Paris. Besides, they've got better wine and cheese there and Crepe Suzette and Boeuf Bourguignon and stuff like that. So, of course, he went to Paris to live the life there. But unfortunately, he didn't have a lot of money. Living in poverty, the once-renowned writer died of meningitis at the age of 46. So he wasn't rich in France. Of course, he was an English writer, so he probably could not publish anything in the French language. He was unable to make a living in Paris. So he lived in poverty. He was very poor. And meningitis here is what he died of. Meningitis, by the way, is na mo yan in Chinese. Now, Wilde is remembered as one of the greatest English language writers of the late 19th century. His dazzling wit and literary works are still appreciated today. So even though he kind of died tragically at the age of 46 in Paris, France, he's still remembered. Lots of people honor him, and attitudes have changed about homosexuality in recent times. So he's not looked down on anymore for that. And you can still find his stuff online. His works are still being printed and published.
Yeah.
So he's got this dazzling wit, which means he was really funny, really clever with his writing. And, of course, his works of literature are still loved by people all over the world.
Right now, we're going to listen one more time to our Chinese teacher.
我们接着看到第三段的 Furious, Wilde sued Queensberry for a libel but lost. 王尔德怒不可遏。因而控告昆斯贝里诽谤，但他官司输了。本句一开始是个形容词 furious, 狂怒的，这是因为前面省略了 being, B-E-I-N-G。分词构句的 being 后面如果只剩形容词，可将 being 省略，只留下形容词。例如原本的两句是 Jane was sad and upset, Jane burst into tears。将这两句以分词构句形式合并后，变成Being sad and upset, Jane burst into tears. 难过又沮丧 ,Jane 突然大哭。Being 可以省略，只留下形容词 sad and upset, 就变成了 sad and upset, Jane burst into tears. 我们看到全文的最后一句 ,His dazzling wit and literary works are still appreciated today. 他光彩夺目的幽默风趣以及文学作品时至今日仍为人所欣赏。动词 appreciate 有赏识、欣赏、感激的意思。名词是 appreciation, A-P-P-R-E-C-I-A-T-I-O-N。例如 ,The singer complained that her talent for music was not appreciated. 这位歌手抱怨她的音乐才华没有受到赏识。以上就是今天的课程，谢谢大家收听。
That is all the time we have for today's lesson. Thank you so much for joining us, and please join us again next time when we return to our featured work of literature, The Importance of Being Earnest, and we'll talk about some of the ideas discussed in this work of literature. Until then, from all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Bye.